Well, thanks again for listening to the Park Hills Podcast. If you want more information on things we're doing, go to parkhillschurch.com or the Park Hills Church app.
Today is a holiday. It's a very special holiday.
Opening day?
It's opening day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Let's talk about a holiday that's actually worth talking about.
Everybody's in first place today.
Yeah, okay. So that's,
except in the AL West where they play the game in...
Correct.
In Seoul.
Although they're still tied for first.
That's true.
Because they split the series.
Yeah, but none of the other teams are 500. But the Tigers are in first place right now at...
For the last time.
2:30.
Potentially for the last time. I mean, maybe they win today.
Yeah, they could be. Man, first in the AL Century. A Central. Hope springs eternal.
All right. So that's one potential holiday for some folks. Let's talk about a holiday that I think is more important than Christmas, but for some reason in our culture—
It's more important than opening day. I'll give you that. But opening day is still important.
Sure. Yeah. So I think it's more important than Christmas, but yet for some reason, Easter does not have the traditions wrapped around it that other holidays do. There might be some reasons for that. And even the fact that I just used the word Easter is somewhat controversial, especially in fundamentalist circles. There's a number of people that are quite angry with the idea, and there's a number of reasons for that. And so we are going to traipse through a concept dealing with a little bit of paganism, a little bit of holidays, a little bit of what's true and what's not true, and what do we do, and what is a Christian supposed to do? So I can't guarantee that this conversation is going to be perfect. I can't guarantee that this conversation is going to give you everything you need, but I think it'll be at least a little bit helpful.
Yeah, maybe just into the mind of how we think about this. And also, as we do our Easter podcast, this is not your typical like Easter celebratory, like this is really amazing and we're going to celebrate Easter. If you want that, come on Sunday, or if you can't make it on Sunday, you get that with our online, post our service online. This is just something that's interesting to us. To me, that comes up often when it gets to this season, and it usually centers around the term Easter. And somebody will remind me that, should we call it Easter? Because that term is not a Christian term, is it, Chris?
So there's a ton of debate about this. It is a pre-Christian word. Most people think it comes from the word Easter, which would be, it's a Germanic goddess, potentially. So like I said, there's some debate about this, but here's what you'll find online. People will say Easter is not real. It's a pagan holiday because it is based on this. And the reason why they say that is in 725 AD, a comment made from St. Bede, who's a church historian. He was an English Catholic monk. He writes this, Easter Monath was a name that is now translated to Paschal Month, which Paschal or Paschal, depending on who you talk to, would be, that's the word for Passover in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. You can actually hear almost how close it is to Passover. So here's what he says. Easter Month was a name that is now translated Paschal Month, and which was once called after a goddess of theirs named Easter, in whose honor feasts were celebrated in that month. Now they designated that Paschal season by her name, calling the joys of the new rite by the time-honored name of the old observance. So there's this little comment made here in this history book that says, what the Germanic tribes once named Easter Monath was the month that is typically right around when we would celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, because it's always tied to Passover. Yep. And so since it is tied to Passover, they've now changed the name to Paschal Month, and then that's basically what it is. So they're saying the Passover, Easter, all of those things are tied together, so let's just do this, and then eventually the word Easter becomes Easter. At least that's how the story goes. The problem is no one's sure if St. Bede even has it right. And also, if Easter was actually the goddess that was being worshipped, some have tied her to Ishtar, which is from the Babylonian myths a long time before that.
And Astarte, the Chaldean.
Yep. And the issue is there's no guarantee that that's even a connection that's for sure. And the second thing is that doesn't even – even mean where we got the word Easter from. The word Easter might have a totally different significance whatsoever. So it's just shaky ground. And so anybody online who's like, no, this is evil, this is pagan, that's less confirmed than people would make it sound.
Right.
So what do you do with that information?
Yeah. And I mean, there's even ties to, you know, we have bunnies and bunnies are a symbol of fertility and these gods are goddesses of fertility. And then you can spin this off into so many different things, like Christmas trees were a pagan symbol. And even I've seen wedding bands to wear wedding rings were a pagan way of symbolizing covenant with people. And now if you go to a wedding, often the pastor will talk about the ring as a picture of Christian virtue, you know, of the unending love and unending covenant of a marriage. And so what this all spins into is just a conversation that Chris and I want to have about, you know, what do we do when we're confronted by these facts that are sometimes they're shaky, sometimes they're not as shaky, but how do we live in a world where there's so much influence in our world of pagan ritual, pagan names? We don't want to participate in that, but we also don't want, I don't think, want to have to go around and clean and whitewash everything and Christian wash everything, you know? Do we then bring Ouija boards into our church so we can worship with them? Like, no, okay, we're not going to redeem that. That's like one side of the spectrum. But then Correct. The other side of the spectrum is like, okay, we need to think of a new word for most of the days of the week because, you know, for example, Thursday is named after Thor. So, okay, so is it wrong for a Christian to say, let's have a worship service on Thursday? It's like, oh, you are talking about worshiping the living God as you proclaim praises to a pagan Norse god. So it's complicated. And we just kind of want to have a discussion on how we kind of balance those two things.
Yeah. I think it is complicated, but I think it's made more complicated because we know more stuff today than anyone in history has ever known. Mm-hmm. Like we have information at our fingertips that saints from 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago would have wanted. I have something like 30,000 books on a computer program that I can study a book of the Bible more in-depthly than anybody in history has ever been able to do.
Wow, you have the 30,000 book version?
Yeah, stop.
My version is not 30,000 books.
Yeah.
I had
a really good deal years ago, and the church that I was working for allowed me to make purchases in that, and I just kept the library going. It's been great.
Yeah.
But that's not really the point. My point is that we—
That's all I'm going to think
I feel
about
very
now,
embarrassed so. About this now. I shouldn't even talk about it. But the point is we live in a time in history where it is so different than anything before that you can find little quotes, you can find things because it's all floating around out there. And I think one of the things that I want you to hear, listener, is just because it's posted doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that concerns me about today with Christians is someone will post something and then everybody begins to share it, it goes viral, and the next thing we know, everyone's saying, well, that's totally true. We need to be careful. We need to do our homework. We need to make sure that what we're talking about is actually accurate. And so, for example, the Aestor idea that you hear about might be a pagan holiday that was used, that was redeemed by the church, which I think we'll come back to in a little while. It might not be. Some of these things are stories that people have found written in certain places. Some of those sources that they're pulling from aren't reputable, and they're not even real. Some mm-hmm. like I know of news stories that have floated around for the last few years where someone somewhere made up a fake story, kind of like The Onion or something else, and then it got recycled back into a news story, and then that news story became the truth, and now everybody's believing this thing as it's true when it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's misinformation, there's more information, and then the challenge is what do we do as that information becomes available to us? So if you're calling it Thursday or Easter or worshiping Jesus on December 25th, and then all of a sudden you find out, well, okay, maybe potentially that has a pagan influence to the reason that day was picked or that name was picked or that tradition. Now that you've been informed of that, what should you do with that? And I kind of go back to, you know, there's intention behind it. There's intentionality. some of these things, I think, have been redeemed by us as believers to say, okay, I don't have to stop calling it Thursday, because especially in our culture today, nobody thinks of Thor when they say Thursday. And I'm not proclaiming the name of Thor when I say Thursday. To me, it's a day. And Jesus is the Lord of every day of my life. So if I take that to things like Easter in our culture means the day Jesus rose from the grave.
Right.
And I can say Easter without any hesitation.
Right.
Say, that's the day I'm proclaiming Jesus is
absolutely
raised from the dead. And that's what I mean by it. So I think there's some of that, but also to say I am careful that the things that I'm not allowing, you know, demonic or pagan or negative influence in my life, when those things do carry weight, when we are talking about, you know, different books or series or movies that get popular that kind of start to dabble in these things, I'm like, no, that's overt. That is intentionally trying to steer my mind toward those things. Let's be more careful about that kind of thing instead of, you know, complaining about, oh, we celebrate Christmas in December, even though Jesus was probably not born in December.
Yeah, that's helpful. And I think when I think about holidays and I think about Christianity and I think about let's call it what it is. It's a behemoth of a faith with many branches at this point. Not all those branches completely agree with each other. And frankly, not all those branches are actually Christian.
Yeah. Just because you call yourself Christian doesn't mean... And even a side note, that's why... Please listen carefully. I don't love the term Christian in our current culture.
Correct.
And the reason why is because that term, saying I'm a Christian, has been so watered down. In fact, I was reading a book about a soldier overseas who got a cross tattoo on his arm, and it was his own story. It was a biography. And he's like, I got this cross tattoo because I wanted all them crazy Muslims to know that a Christian was killing them. And I wanted to make sure they knew who killed them. It was a Christian that killed them. He's like, and then I got bored one day. So all of our guys went back and we looked at porn for the whole afternoon because that's what we do when we're soldiers. And then he just moved on. Like, I'm like, that term is a little misused there. And in our culture, it is used, you know, not
very wrongly used.
Yeah, very, very wrongly used. So that to say, even our own terms, Christian, you know, so sometimes you'll hear me say, and it's not that I'm afraid and I won't use the term Christian. I do use the term Christian, but often you'll hear me use terms like Christ follower. Mm-hmm. Even just that little difference, or follower of Jesus, I think has a little bit more impact and power today. So anyway, that was a side note. Where totally. Were you going?
I think it's helpful because if you think about the behemoth of Christianity,
yes,
there are a lot of aspects of culture that have just been steamrolled by this faith. Mm-hmm. And some of those things are good that we've steamrolled and taken some of those things in. So Christmas, for example, you know, there was a pagan holiday of the sun rising a couple of days after the winter solstice, right? Because the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere, and that's also another key here, is it's only true in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah.
It's weird watching Australians play in the beach on Christmas Day.
Yeah, for us, what was our favorite Australian friend told me, like, yeah, the Christmas swimming, Christmas pool party is like a big deal. It's like, oh, wow.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
So, but in the northern hemisphere, if you've got a celebration that involves the sun rising from the grave, so to speak, right? The sun has died on December 20th or 21st, depending on what year it is.
Yeah.
So the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year. And in the northern, super northern hemisphere, it's completely dark for days.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the sun starts to show itself again on the horizon on the 25th. Okay, if you're a Christian missionary who's moving into a culture and you find out that they are celebrating the sun coming back from the dead on December 25th, how do you not teach them about Jesus? And then when they go, whoa, Jesus rose from the grave. He came back from the dead. Why don't we celebrate, you know, his birth right around then? It's sort of the same thing. I see no problem with Christian culture saying, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a right way. Kind of the missions movement of the early, I don't know, or late 17, early 1800s, the kind of the missionary strategy was to go into a remote, just a community that did not have contact with Christianity, and change all the names of their gods to, you know, Peter and Paul. And so you can venerate Peter and Paul and Mary instead of, you know, just switch the names of their gods and then build a church and put a piano in it. And now look, you have a church. Like, I think that's not good.
No, just that would be wrong.
Yeah, to be wrong. So there's intentionality. This is where that intentionality. But what if you went in and said, hey, you think some things are powerful? It's kind of the Paul thing. Like, yeah. He doesn't come in and say, all your gods are wrong when he goes, Athens, right? Yeah. It's Athens. Yeah.
Acts 17.
Yeah, Acts 17. He doesn't go in and say, all your gods are wrong. He says, hey, I want to show you one that's different and better.
Yep.
And then in the wake of Jesus, everything else is going to get left behind. And you got to think, people are like, yeah, you know, we used to use this day to celebrate some really trashy dudes, but you know what? What if we use this day to celebrate the real guy? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be super cool? Wouldn't that be amazing change of tide? And so, yeah, in the same way, I'm like, man, Easter, they used to celebrate these fertility gods. And they used to have all these pictures and symbols. You know what would be really cool is if we were like, ditch the fertility god. Let's do Jesus, the king of the universe. Let's do that guy.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, sir. Call it the same
and he rose from the grave. And it happens to take place in spring, right around, again, in the Northern Hemisphere, a time when babies are being born in the animal world. And so you say, okay. And then, so this is where I would draw the line. Okay. So I'm with you. If it's a day of the year, if it's a holiday that might be able to be converted, mm-hmm. right? Because the whole culture is celebrating something and you're saying, well, actually this coincides with a holiday we already celebrate. Let's put the two together and make this work. I'm all in. Let's do that. If there are things about a culture that people would do that ultimately does not venerate God in some way, I'm less in favor of that. So for example, this is why I'm less in favor of Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm anti the guy that we would tie to Saint Nick, but there's these Germanic, and this is another thing is people don't realize, most of these things are Germanic holidays.
Yeah.
Because Germany was pretty wild and crazy. All the Germanic tribes were pretty violent, angry, terrible people. And when missionaries came in, they were just trying to find something that they could get in. Yeah. And most of us are from Germanic descent of some sort, because whether you're English or German or even the French, like all of those cultures kind of got blended together in a, you know, Western European, I don't know, amalgamation of religion and everything else. As they all came to Christ, they began to just kind of put these things together. Well, so there's these stories of these demons who come in the dark of the night, and if you're naughty, they're going to take you, and if they're good, they might give you a present. Well, some Christian missionaries were like, well, that's kind of like what Saint Nick did, so let's tie him together and make this all. I'm not in favor of that story.
Yeah,
I'm not in favor of the Easter Bunny. That's not saying you can't have a bunny that you hand out on, you know, in a little chocolate package to your kids, or an Easter egg hunt. As long as it's done with, let's talk about Jesus, and then let's look for eggs as fun, but it's not like we're trying to tie this all together. Yeah. I'm in. But if what you're trying to do is take things that are clearly actually pagan, like for sure pagan, worshiping a bunny, worshiping a demon who might come and give you something.
Yeah.
That's where I would draw the line. If it takes away from what Christ did, I think we're moving out of the realm of what redeeming looks like and starting to just sort of slap Jesus on things and say, it's fine now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
Well, because you got to remember these things are creations of God in the first place. It's kind of like the rainbow.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so a certain community decided that the rainbow is going to be their symbol. Does that mean I can never have rainbows anymore? I can never use that as a symbol. Now I'm going to be wise about how I use that particular symbol. But you know, my kids love seeing rainbows in the sky, and what a great opportunity to talk about Noah. So if they're going to paint rainbows or use rainbow colors for things, I'm not going to be like, oh, that is now tied to a certain symbol. No, like, it's gods in the first place, and the bunnies, yeah, they're gods in the first place, and eggs, those are gods all in the first place. Yep. Like, we can bring those back.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah. And redeeming it might just be as simple, and what I'm saying here, in case I didn't make my point really clear, the point is talking about bunnies during the spring is not the craziest thing, because that's when bunnies do have babies. But then if your entire holiday, you know, everything that you're doing with your holiday is completely focused on bunnies or Santa Claus or eggs or Christmas trees or the lights, you're missing the point, right? Yep. Yep. So if Jesus is central and you're using those things as a vehicle to point people to Jesus, that is a different strategy than, say, just doing all of it and then at the very end of it, like, oh, yeah, and Jesus rose from the grave. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So I've seen churches do an Easter egg hunt, for example, as an outreach, but it starts with a gospel presentation. They go look for the eggs, and then a lot of times, the symbol of the eggs is go find Jesus. Okay,
yep.
I can go with that. Like I think that's an interesting evangelistic strategy that might work. Whereas if we just slap everything and say, no, we're going to do all the holiday stuff. Oh, and by the way, Jesus is kind of important. I think we've missed it.
Yep.
Have you heard about, there's a certain church in the South that this Easter is not going to use the word resurrection or the blood of Jesus in their services because they want to be kind to newcomers and people who pop in off the street?
I have not heard about that.
So that is too far.
Yeah.
That is when you've moved into a territory that I'm just not in favor of. And I'm not going to go into who it is or anything like that. You can go find it online. There's tons of articles. But in the middle of this, coming back to the holiday idea that I think we're talking about, there are a lot of things that the church has done over the history of the church that have redeemed holidays that were once pagan and moved them in a different direction. That I'm not opposed to. But back to what you said earlier, which I think was really brilliant, and people might have just missed it, so I want to make sure that we give you your props here. If someone was saying, well, this pagan holiday is really close to this Christian holiday, and they celebrate with the Ouija board, so we're going to bring the Ouija board. No, summoning a spirit through through a piece of wood, that is paganism to an extent that we cannot jive. That will not work. Just like somebody putting a cross on their arm and saying, I'm a Christian and that's why I'm going to do this, this, and this. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, including not hold to a good Christian sexual ethic, but I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
No. You're just slapping the name on yourself, hoping that you're covered. You've missed the point of what Jesus has done for you. And when he says things like, go and sin no more, like that's the challenge every Christ follower has.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to live for.
Yep.
So folks, as you're thinking about holidays and thinking about Easter, if you use the word Easter, that's fine. If you want to use the word Resurrection Sunday, it's just as fine too. You're going to be okay.